Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed here. Once again, we hope that you had a great Christmas.
Happy New Year.
It is Happy New Year.
Wow.
I can hardly believe it. I remember when 2017 started, and he says, boy, it's going to come faster than I can believe. It's going to be Christmas already. And it really did come fast.
It did. This whole year has just flown
New
by.
New Year's. Yeah. Now. Amazing. Yep. So we're picking this book of Acts, and we're picking up in chapter number 2, and we're in verse 29. We last week talked about David, who had this wonderful vision of always having God before him and understanding the plan of God's salvation, that he would not let Jesus decay, that he would rise from the dead, and that his life would be fulfilled in Christ, and he would have this great joy of being in the presence of the Lord. So then he says, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. Now, this is a pretty interesting statement, because when we go to Israel, and we're going once again in March, but this will be our fifth trip, and I think on the third trip or so, one of the guides really said to us, now we're going to go to the upper room. Now, we know that the disciples, they were in the upper room. That's where Acts takes place. They're in the upper room. And they say, well, we're not really sure where the upper room is, but we think it's right here. And the reason why we think it's right here is because below the upper room is the tomb of David.
Wow.
It's his tomb. We walked down there. We walked in. There was a lot of people praying down there because it's a very holy shrine. Yeah. And it is the actual tomb of David. It's where his tomb has always been. Yeah. And so here, we were there. And so they say, this is probably for sure the place of the upper room, because they're in the upper room. And he can say right now, I can tell you it confidently, that the patriarch David, and he was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. Yeah. And so it's here. It's right at that particular spot.
Right.
It's right there.
He was pointing.
He was
right
there.
Right here.
It's right here. He's right here to this day. Yeah. And the tomb has never been moved, and it's there. And so this is probably the real upper room. Last time we were in the upper room, not this last trip, but the trip before, we had two ladies that were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room.
Wow.
And it was really, truly remarkable.
Amen.
Now, we had a tour group, Southern Baptists, that came in. And in the midst of my preaching and in the midst of my giving the call for someone to be filled, they all hurried out of the room.
Yeah.
They were afraid
they might get the baptism. Get the baptism.
they might
experience God in a fresh and a new way, according to Acts chapter 2.
That's what we're talking about right here, Acts chapter 2. So here, we're finding, he says, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died, was buried here. The tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. All we talked about were the prophetic words in the last message, that where David was constantly having this revelation of who God was, and that David's throne would be for a king, would be forever and ever. And so David understood that the Messiah would be the one, would be from his lineage. And we know he is from the lineage of David. We know that Jesus was born of the lineage of David. Joseph was in the lineage of David.
Right.
And so here we find that it will be one of his descendants would be on the throne. It would be Jesus.
You know, both accounts in Matthew and Luke, the lineages both go back, and they named David as part of it. So it is it's a prophetic promise, and it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ.
And he's making Luke, who is a historian, he's a doctor, he's very detailed. He's getting these details directly connected. Here they are, standing everything. This is it. We're right over the place of David, and this is going to be about Jesus, and this is the whole thing. It's focused on him. And so he says, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did he see his body decayed. And that's what we mentioned last week. It was a prophetic word from David, that David said, you're not going to abandon me to the grave, nor are you going to let the Holy One, talking about the Messiah, see decay. So he said right there, he says that there Christ is going to be resurrected. Now, David says this, and he says this in his writing in the book of Psalms. This is well before the book of Acts is written.
Hundreds of years.
Yeah, prophetic word here. And so it's true, he says here, that he would not abandon him to the grave, nor did his body see decay, because God raised this Jesus to life. And these are the Acts of the disciples and the apostles, and they're trying to help people to understand that you may not have seen Jesus rise from the dead. We did. We saw him rise. 500 people saw him alive.
Yeah, it's incredible when you think about it. You go back to Genesis 1, or you go back to the first few chapters where man sinned, and the curse of that sin was death, and that we would go back to the ground, and we would decay. Here, Jesus is buried. He's dead. He's physically dead, but he comes back to life.
He doesn't decay.
He breaks that curse. He doesn't decay. His body comes back. He breathes air into his lung again. It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
And he comes back, and these men were eyewitnesses of the fact that they had seen Jesus get crucified, nailed to a cross, buried in a tomb. On that third day, they went there. The tomb was empty, and then Jesus started appearing to them, and they touched his hands. They saw him eat. They heard his voice, and they knew that he had come back to life. And so this is a fulfillment of that promise that was written in Psalms.
And this is why they're hooking everything, if you will, to the resurrection of Jesus, because God raised him from the dead, and they were witnesses of that. And then they saw that Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God. He was received, and he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. So Jesus rises from the dead, rises into heaven, receives the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and he pours out what you are seeing and what you are hearing right now. And at this particular time, they hear men, women, they hear them speaking in other languages. They're speaking, and they're in the middle of Jerusalem, and it is the day of Pentecost. It's a day of an outpouring, and it is just, it's an amazing scene, but they're giving you historical background so that you could say, hey, this is scriptural. This is something that David prophesied of. This is something God promised. And it comes from the scripture. It's not something that's different. It comes from the scriptures.
I love how Peter did that. I love how Peter ties in the Old Testament truths and brings, because those who were God-fearing Jews, those who were Jews and those who were God-fearing, you know, had converted to Judaism, knew the what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. And when they went to synagogue, they would open it up, they would read it. And now Peter, under the anointing or the presence of the Holy Spirit, is bringing back or bringing to light revelation what those scriptures have said. And he's saying Jesus is the fulfillment of those.
And they're doing it in the upper room area there, right out, right in the part of Jerusalem. And they're right there by the upper room where they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and all this is happening. And then he goes on and he says here, for David did not ascend to heaven. And yet this is what he said. So he said, David didn't rise to heaven. David was a regular man. He died, but he died in faith. And he said these things. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So the Lord said to my Lord, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome right there.
Yeah, you know, just the reverence that David, the king of Israel, gives to the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. And we know that there's God the Father, there's God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you talk about the Lord, you're talking about God. And so David, the Lord of Israel, recognized the lordship of God and of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I often wonder here when he says, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, you know, there's a lot of enemies that are against the Lord right now.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
seems like even in America, we have a lot of people that are against God. Yep. They're just totally against God. And so I'm just wondering how this will all turn out when he says, I'm going to make your enemies, God's enemies, they're going to be like a footstool for your feet. Now, I don't know, but when I sit in a recliner, I have a little recliner at home, and I have a footstool, and there's nothing like putting your foot on a footstool. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
There's less stress on your body, less stress on your life when you get your feet up on a footstool, and it does elevate things, keeps the blood flowing better.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good things that happen with a footstool, and your feet feel much better.
Yeah, they, takes, you know, the pressure off them.
You don't feel, you don't feel all that weight in in the blood in your feet. It circulates nicely. I don't know what this all means, but I have a feeling that there's going to be some nice rest for you. Even when your enemies come against you, you're going to have this rest in your life. Yeah. This kind of understanding that God's on your side, that the Lord is with you. No matter what's happening around you, it's like you're resting with your feet up, and maybe you've got a coffee or a cold iced tea in your hand, and you do whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
I'm in good shape.
You know, if you do a review of David's life, you'll see a lot of his life was spent in battle.
Running,
you know, tired feet, exhausted, hiding in caves.
Right.
You know, just a struggle. His life was a struggle. And like you
fighting
said,
giants. Too.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff in his life. And even when he was king, he had difficult from his sons, his family.
Oh, my goodness. His
friends.
Sons came against him.
Yeah. You know, so it was a mess. And I never looked at it the way you just said it. And the Lord, God was saying, you know, one day, David, you're going to kick your feet up. You're going to relax.
Kick your feet up.
And the Lord is going to do something wonderful in your life. And when Jesus Christ, of the lineage of David, became king, he opened up the kingdom of heaven, but it's not fully revealed yet. But there's coming a moment when the Lord is going to show himself, and he's going to reign supreme on the earth and in heaven. And at that moment, I think David can lay back and say, here's the fulfillment of that promise you made to me.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Wow.
And I think it's probably true even in the Lord's life, because the Lord himself, the earth is going to be his footstool.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a resting place. And right, you know, he certainly wasn't a resting place when he came here in the flesh. He battled every moment. He was constantly under attack. Just like you said, he was under attack by his own people. I mean, the Pharisees and the Israel, the people of Israel, they didn't even recognize who he was, and they were constantly fighting, who do you think you are, and all this stuff. And it was constant. Almost like David, like you said, his own family turned against him. Yeah. Everybody turned against him, and he was in a battle for 20 years, and Jesus was in a battle for the 20 years of ministry, or for the 3.5 years of ministry that he was in. He was constantly in a battle. And so here, I think there's one day that the earth is going to be a footstool for the Lord, and he'll be able to just rest in it.
Yeah. You know, for 2 millennia now, since Jesus, for 2,000 years, there's still been a battle going on.
Battle.
Like you said, there's the
constant battle.
Kingdom of heaven, and then there's an antichrist spirit that's out there that's waging war against the church, against Christians, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a constant battle, but one day that battle will be over.
Yeah. Put your feet up and rest. That's what he's saying. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. So he's going to, after he gives us all of this about David, all of this about how David had this understanding of who Jesus was, that he understood the Messiah. He understood Christ. He understood his kingdom. And he bowed to that kingdom. No matter what he went through, he was bowing to that kingdom. So he says, and David was a hero for almost of Israel. So therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. Because you love David, let me tell you something, you're going to love this Jesus. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Ouch.
So there's going to come one day that this Jesus, whom right now you are rejecting, you are one day going to say he really is the Son of David. He really is the Lord of Lords. And you crucified him, but nevertheless, you're going to come to understand who he really is, because David understood who he was. How come you don't understand?
You know, there was a revelation knowledge that took place in Peter's mind as he's preaching this message. This is really kind of the first preaching.
It is the first message
that ever happened after, you know, Jesus ascended into heaven. Here's the first message. Luke got the details of it, recorded it for us. And verse number 36 is just a very poignant point that Peter ends this message on. And I don't want to say he points his finger at Israel. He says, but listen, Israel needs to know this. You as the people of Israel need to understand that God, who made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, God has lifted up the person of Jesus, who happened to be also God in the flesh. He is Lord, and he is the anointed one, the Messiah that you were waiting for, that you knew was coming. God has made Jesus that one that you need to turn to. And he points to the crucifixion. He's been talking about the resurrection, but there has to be that revelation knowledge that comes to bring you to that place of faith.
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned, this really is the very first proclamation, a powerful proclamation of who Jesus is and the gospel of Christ and what Christ has done. And the cool thing, I think, about this is the fact that I'm not sure that we would find the apostles being as open and powerfully preaching and all the things that we find in this second chapter without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
No, absolutely not.
So here we're finding that we're seeing an actual response of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yeah. What the Holy Spirit is going to do. Because Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to come, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And this is the very first witness that takes place in Jerusalem.
Yeah, powerful.
And it's power. It's like you say, I mean, he stood up. These last words, like you say, are just, you crucified the Christ, both the Lord and Christ. You know, you don't really understand what you just did.
Right. You know, a few weeks prior to this, Peter's going, I never knew the guy.
Yeah.
Jesus? Never knew. Some little servant girl's asking him, hey, weren't you hanging with Jesus? No, not me. That was somebody else that looked like me.
That's it.
But now the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he says, you know that guy you crucified? He was my friend. He was my buddy. And he's Lord in Christ.
It is a total transformation of an individual's heart, sight, being, and everything. And, you know, I guess you'd have to say, if you saw Jesus rise from the dead and you watched him come into a wall, and he told you to hang around until the Holy Spirit came, and then you have fire on your head, you have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, then you're going to preach these kinds of messages too. But it is truly amazing that that's what it took. Yeah. It took God to do this. God did it. Jesus did it when he came and died for us.
Right.
Then he gave us the mission, but we can't do the mission without the Holy Spirit. And that's it. We just don't have the strength, the power, nor the insight, understanding to do it.
That word power in Acts chapter 1:8 that Jesus used, it's that Greek word dunamis. It means dynamic or dynamite. We get those words from it. And that's what happened to Peter. Yeah. He became a dynamo for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I have to believe the Holy Spirit gave him spiritual insight because the spiritual insight that he gives you just about the whole patriarch thing of David, just about the fact that this took place, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place where David's tomb was, took place where David had these prophetic words about Jesus himself.
Right.
So these prophetic words that David had about the Messiah, I'm telling you, they're the truth.
Here's the reality.
This is the reality. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope you had a good Christmas and a happy new year. And we hope that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God bless you.